Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Welcome, everyone. Chuck Bonniewell and Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Show, the Truth Straight Up.
That's right. The show brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, advanced Chinese medicine and acupuncture with Dr. Jack Schaefer, who Chuck visited just this morning to get ready for a golf trip.
Yeah, absolutely did.
Also, happytrees.co and Denver Synergenics with Dr. Julie McCallan. Going to have Mark Poff coming on at the bottom of the hour. He's got all kinds of interesting things to talk about, as always. But we wanted to bring on our friend, Democrat strategist, sort of Soros, Ted Trimpa. Hey, Ted, happy party Friday.
Happy hey, Ted, how's it going?
Patrick's Day.
Yeah, thank happy St. Patrick's time. Day.
I don't see. Where am I up there?
You're up there, Chuck. Don't worry about it.
Okay, don't worry about it. We're just
it's a Zoom thing. We've got all of us up there.
Ted, you know, it's been so many things we want to ask you about, and your perspective is one of the brightest people I know. But first, what did you think of the Dave Williams winning the chair of the Republican Party? And Julie and I were there rabble-rousing on his behalf.
Supporting him. Denver Polk, Mandy McConnell has left the Republican Party, Ted.
I mean, are we ever going to get Mandy back? I mean, what a loss. What a loss. So what are your thoughts?
I'm shedding tears, Chuck. Shedding a lot of tears. I have to disclose that Dave's a personal friend.
Right.
And I really like him. And his politics and my politics, obviously, are very, very different. I don't know the inner Sistine workings of what's going on in the Republican Party now.
We do.
I will say this, from the outside looking in, you know, you give a person a chance. They won the election. You know, it's a process that you have. I don't think it's necessary. You know, a lot of people predict it's going to be the end of the world. And, oh, my God, I can't believe that you got him. He's done all these nasty, mean things. And I have to tell you, what's fascinating is your side or your world tends to shoot each other so much more than ours. I mean, you think back on party chairs that we've had for Democrats in Colorado. It's been all over the map. You have Morgan, you know, who doesn't know how to turn right. you know, Rick Palacio, and these are all friends, you know, Rick Palacio, who's, you know, truly a pragmatic moderate. And it all worked. And the other thing, too, I just have to say is, you know, the party only means so much. It means as much as you make it.
Right.
And so if you make it something, then all of a sudden it becomes something.
Right.
And I just think that for you guys, you know, conservatism doesn't have to be necessarily defined by the party, even though I disagree with a lot of what you say.
Right.
I just think that, you know, you don't have to rely on some old, you know, crickety, you know, structure in order to get, you know, your message across.
Well that, particularly
you didn't because of you didn't in order to change how the Democrats, you and the Blue Plant, Colorado, decided that you didn't want the rickety structure and you built a powerhouse outside of it.
Yeah, well, I mean, we just made a decision. There was a certain structure there that, you know, do I really want to spend time going to 65 counties or how many other counties we have, going to all the county chairs? All the little old ladies that get together or little old man or whatever, people who don't have something to do, who all of a sudden decide they're going to go to every single little party function.
Right.
And I mean, I think it's useful for people to be, you know, to participate in the process. But again, it comes back to it's what you want it to be, but don't think it's going to be everything that you need it to be.
Well, there are other organizations.
Because we don't have any money, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
so money, but there are other organizations now, and it's usually Anschutz behind all of them, but he may not be behind everyone. But like Advance Colorado, and that's got George Brockler and Michael Fields and God knows who else on the left. And it's got its own litigation wing. It's got its own podcast where they have Rubenstein from Mesa who persecuting Tina Peters. But they clearly decided to act outside of the party. Independence Institute, which is controlled by Anschutz, outside of the party. The trouble is the grassroots don't have anything that acts outside of the party. So it spends too much of its time within the party and probably worse for it. But it's been 20 years.
Even though I would disagree with it, and I mean,
really?
A lot of the positions that a lot of the grassroots folks you would have are positions that I would pretty much universally disagree with. But it's a voice that has to happen. It's something that has to be out there. And if it's only just, you know, the traditional structure of whatever has been around for a long time is the ones that are going to start winning races, then, well, first of all, one, I ask, you know, the question I would ask is, okay, so you did such a great job last time.
Yeah. Well,
no,
that was sort of, I think, a winning argument for the grassroots. It's like, what do we have to lose? I mean, you know, Dick Wadhams, I don't think he likes us very much anymore, but I like him. But, it, you know, the media always goes to him and he says, oh, well, you know, he's leaving the Republican Party. We're doomed and doomed. But you kind of want to say, okay, but
wait,
we
wait,
have.
But okay, so you're going to leave the Republican Party and you're going to go where?
Right.
Yeah.
You're going to go sit
join
in the
you.
He's going to sit on
you. He's
going to
woggle up to you.
Wait,
but
let me
Bernie
ask you. Wait,
is going to go to the new labels party.
That's right. No label. What do you think about the no labels party?
And who the hell would name a party no labels?
All the people from Colorado Concern, all the rich guys. You have
all
to get
you know, that's like, you know, historically, and Chuck obviously will know much more about this than I will. But it's, you know, back in the days, way, way, way long before any of us, you know, the do nothing party. Oh, right. We want a party that, you know, says do nothing. So it's just like no labels.
Well,
yeah. We really don't want you to know
the name
who we
of the
are.
Party was the American Party. It was called by its opponents the Do Nothing Party. They did not call themselves the Do Nothing
Party. Oh, okay.
Party.
So I'm
the
staying
no
corrected.
Labels Party does
I stand
call
corrected.
Themselves.
I stand corrected.
So what do you make of them? I mean, because there is some, I've been reading some gnashing of teeth in Politico because they're in Arizona now, they're in Colorado, they're in a bunch of states, and it's a bunch of really rich people. You have to like.
Yeah, hey. Well, I tell you, I used to poo-poo this and say, oh, yeah, but you know how difficult it is to get on the ballot in 50 states. And there's like real money behind this.
Yes.
You know, and there's a core set of consultants that are making a shit ton of cash off of this.
Right.
So, you know, they're going to love it too.
Right.
And, you know, they claim that, you know, they can get, you know, presidential candidate on the ballot in all the states, you know, to which I say as a Democratic strategist, you go for it, girl. Knock yourself out because you're going to steal more votes from your side than our side.
What's your side?
Well, now they say the opposite. I mean, the Politico at least was saying they, I'm not sure who you mean by they, but they were speculating, and of course, who knows, that they would steal more votes from Democrats than Trump, say, America First kind of candidates.
I think in the middle, I'm not sure I believe that. I'm not
okay.
For sure.
I don't think we know. I would agree with that. I don't think
I mean,
we know.
No, a lot of it's going to depend on who the Democratic candidate is. I mean,
Joe Biden.
I'm thinking to make it be Joe Biden, or you don't think so?
Kamala Harris. You're
yeah. Oh, I tell you, if it's Kamala Harris, I'll set it out.
Then you'll join Dick Wadhams.
You'll join Dick Wadhams. And
yeah, yeah. We can go sit in the forest together, and we can do a campfire, and I'll cook him eggs.
Cool. So you don't think it's going to be Biden, or what? Well, we've got you, and you brought it
yeah,
up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it every signal points to that, even though every signal of logic would say that this isn't a good idea.
Right.
But you know, it's kind of hard to argue with a record. You know, we can argue whether, you know, he should get all the credit for a lot of it, but I think he should get a lot of the credit because it's the driving force to do. I mean, there was a major bipartisan veterans bill, a bipartisan transportation bill, a lot of stuff of what went around COVID, and now you guys don't like what happened around that. You know, the money that went out for that. It was ugly to watch. It was bloody to watch. It was like watching a family fight every single day. You know, we had Ocasio-Cortez and her little Met Gala. You know, ridiculous dress, and then Jaipal, who I think needs to go out and have some fashion advice, you know, telling people and other Democrats what they needed to do. So he has a real record to run on. And then the midterm elections, you know, whether they, you know, it's his credit or not, you know, that's something for a president, no matter which party, be able to say, hey, wait a minute, you know, we survived, and had Democrats not been such idiots, had Gavin Newsom not spent so much money outside of Colorado, I mean, outside of California, spending money in Florida and spent money on those California races, we would have won those California races. Had we had a stronger gubernatorial candidate in New York, you know, outside of Hochul, we would have won some of those races. I mean, the fact that Sean Maloney, the guy who leads the D trip, lost his own district, you know, all we needed was four. One, two, three, four. And, you know, I mean, the number of seats that we had in terms of the market to get them was, you know, 10. just in what I'm talking about right now. So in some ways, it's, you know, shame on us for not even winning those and actually keeping the majority.
But I got to push back here on Biden.
Let me kind of respond to his run on the record.
Yeah, yeah.
I must admit that,
I mean,
you know,
did the banks
I
just
live
fail?
In a different universe than you do. You know, massive inflation, banks failing. And I want to talk to you about Ukraine. Hundreds of billions of dollars to Ukraine.
China spy balloons.
I mean, open border, 5 million people coming through from the wacky right side. You know, it's like Biden said, well, Afghanistan has really Dunkirk, you know, a beautiful strategic withdrawal, always done. I mean, all he is happy talk, and it really kills any happy talk you might have. And saying it bipartisan
Shameful. Shameful on a certain level is, given everything you just talked about, you know, all the things that you just listed, that's pretty much factual. You know, I mean, you can't look somebody in the face and say, oh, there isn't an immigration problem. People aren't pouring over the border, because they are.
Right.
You can't look around and say that there's not an inflation problem, because there is.
Yes.
You can't look around and say there isn't a crime problem, because God knows there is. All you have to do is go to some of the major cities of which we live in one, or I live in one, and you see it. Given all of that, Democrats, we still won.
Yeah, I'll give you credit for that. That's incredible. You shouldn't have won, but as a practical matter, Republicans got 3 million more votes, at least in congressional districts, and it still has on the, you know, political index still had.
And you know, you got that despite the fact that you guys control redistricting in those states where redistricting.
Well, because we don't know what we're doing. I mean, you guys in Colorado know how to rig it, so let me ask you about Ukraine. I mean, you've got half the Republican Party who most Republicans hate, Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham, and almost all. When did you become the war party? I mean, I can still remember the 60s.
Oh.
When did you become the war party?
Okay, for those that may be listening and not watching, I'm rolling my eyes.
Rolling the war party?
No, we're not the war party. We're actually protecting democracy and keeping the world. No, think about this.
Democracy?
Democracy?
Why don't you take a look? I'm sorry, not you. I'm directing. So let me back up. I need to be more constructive. Let's take a look at Hitler and the rise of Hitler. You know, he had agreements, armistice, whatever it is, with every single country that he invaded. Oh, Poland, I'm not going to come to you. Oh, Austria, I'm not going to come to you. Oh, Czechoslovakia, I'm not going to come to you. Oh, Bulgaria, I'm not going to come to you. I mean, oh, Russia, well, we're not going to come to you. And then he violated every single. And what did we do? What did a lot of the world do? Sit back and watch. And what did we end up doing? Ended up having to pay. In terms of money.
Let him talk.
The Marshall Plan. And then to top it off, oh, gee whiz, let's mention in passing, 6 million Jews got killed. I mean, it's inexcusable.
Look at what Putin does.
Who killed the Jews?
Putin intentionally kills children.
Oh, God.
Well, so do Democrats, Ted. I mean,
really?
So good.
So Democrats, we're all running around with guns.
That was a cheap shot.
I was talking about your abortion rules and your COVID vaccine.
I'm sorry.
Wait a minute. That's, you know, you're usually so good and can con all of us, and you're so much brighter than most of us. But that NATO trying to, you know, you forced the war, you got the war, you got the billions, 10% for the big man. It just doesn't sing. I'm sorry, you know. I'll usually give you credit because your arguments are so eerily and disgustingly good, but that one doesn't work.
Ted, how can you seriously? I mean, so Zelensky has $30 bazillion that we keep sending. I mean, you could just give $1 billion to practically every Ukrainian now, and everything would be fine. And he takes time out of the middle of this.
Still alive.
Saving Democracy Board, opposed to Vogue magazine.
Give every Ukrainian $1 billion if Russia is the one that now rules them? And then you know what will happen.
Well, there are some people in Ukraine,
Putin will be Stalin. There will be hundreds of thousands of people killed.
All right, well, back to that though, there was a time, I think, when you would have been arguing our thing. It's like, but war is bad, you know, we don't need to risk war. And instead now you're like, we, and the Republicans are the ones saying we need war to, for democracy. Ronald, like Lindsey Graham,
that's
shoot
ridiculous.
Down those planes.
It's so pathetic.
I will say this, and maybe I'm like the odd person out, but I've always been a hawk.
Oh. Okay.
Iraq war? Afghanistan?
No. No.
Vietnam?
How about Syria? How about Libya?
Oh, come on, Iraq? Really?
Iraq, oh, yeah.
We're like going to have the dominoes of the dominoes of democracy are going to fall if we go in and we take over Iraq. It'll only
be
a few week exercise. I mean, it was just ridiculous.
Yes, but you're now a war hawk. You're the guy who wants to go into Iraq.
Listen, I'm a war hawk when I need to be.
All right.
When it's $100 billion. And you get to go over there and take some. I hope you're getting part
well,
of
yeah, that's right. It all gets washed through the NGO. So that's
so, hey, how about this? 10% for this man.
There you go. That's right. You need to become a lobbyist for that. You know what? Instead of
telling me that would make Arash happy. Be like, hey, yeah, I'll do that.
I could just see you and Arash. For folks who don't know, Ted's partner Arash is a conservative, and I can just see your arguments where Arash is like, no, Ted, we must love each other and not have war. We must have peace. And you're like, no, we need to shoot down their planes.
Kill them. Kill every Iraqi. Kill every person in Ukraine until they're free. We're going to free after there's no one left.
What about, Ted, what do you guys make of the COVID lab leak that is now true? I mean, and you're Democrat, every conspiracy theory that Chuck and I have thrown out there is now true. And I know a lot of the Democrat or the Democrat media, which is all of them pretty much, are ignoring things. But have you heard that in your circles
has it filtered through to you guys?
And you don't have to wear a mask again anymore. So,
I think that there's they won't say it, but I think there's some embarrassment in terms of it. You know, the stuff. Now, I was reading today, and listen, I'm not trying to like light a fire around this. But there's some art, I can't remember if it was in Nature or Scientific Journal about, you know, COVID was, you know, started with, you know, some group of animals. I don't know.
Raccoon dogs. I think, that was debunked like 5 seconds.
The lab thing makes the most sense. The intelligence reports are saying what it is. What I have to say, I mean, not that I would be dishonest, but I got to be direct. You have to wonder, so why were we so obsessed with not saying it could have been the lab? You know, so what?
Fauci.
So we state the truth.
Because Dr. Fauci had a lot to lose over that. And
Fauci
so
he helped fund it.
Well, so what? So he
because he's a Democrat.
We agree
we
with
love
you.
Him.
No.
We love science. You guys are big science ones.
We like science when it supports what we think.
And if it doesn't, you'll make it
too?
Up.
What about this too? And poor Ted. This is sort of attack Ted. And
I love this. Are you kidding me? Hey, listen, this is what it's like at home.
Yeah, and Gutfield is still skyrocketing. So all of the stuff that's come out with the Twitter files, and in fact, today there was another thing that came out, Matt Taibbi, that Stanford was they found the emails and stuff where they acknowledge that they being the government and COVID, that a lot of the stuff that they were trying to censor and stop was actually true about COVID, but they were stopping it because it might cause vaccine hesitancy. I mean, all of the stuff that we're finding about the government intrusion into the media, into the social media. What do you make? I mean, to me, talk about democracy and being worried about democracy, whatever side of the aisle you're on, I would think that that's bad. But now Democrats, not only being for war, are also for total censorship.
Getting rid of civil liberties.
So I would separate out, and I understand why you guys keep trying to weave in war in Ukraine. So let's unweave that.
No,
okay.
We can't do that.
But... But on the Twitter files and the, you know, repression of facts, it's offensive.
Okay.
I mean, I and this is another, and you guys know this with me, I'm a very much a free speech advocate.
Yeah.
And a transparency advocate. And you let chips fall where they fall.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is. You know, give people the benefit of the doubt. Let them like see what the facts are. Let them make the decisions on their own. You don't need to force feed it to people to say, this is what you need to think. So therefore, we're going to control the information that you get. I think that's wrong.
Okay.
Right? But the FBI, the Justice
Department. No, it's seriously, to control that and direct that, it's wrong.
Right. Oh, good. January okay, 6th? We agree on that then.
With January 6th, just a insurrection, armed insurrection with
Okay, now we get to January 6th. There are a few topics at home that we just say we can't discuss because it gets really heated really quickly. One is guns. One is, I would say, reproductive rights. He calls it killing babies. Yeah. And January 6th. So okay. I'm happy to go there. We can go.
Okay.
I love the two of you. You're like two of
my friends. What did you make of it wasn't with the Tucker Carlson files, but the videotape. And I'll give you this, that everybody is picking and choosing the videotape. But I do think,
right,
I would say that the Tucker Carlson videotape that he showed at least there is another side to it. I mean, what do you make of all of that?
Well, what I make of that is that the Capitol Police are a bunch of buffoons. Yes, I mean, if you have these folks that are out there protesting like that, saying that they want to hang Mike Pence, and this is, I mean, this stuff is like recorded, you know, and they want to go after Pelosi, and you're deciding to, I'm going to be the tour guide today, you know, why don't you go up these stairs? You know, this marble was quarried in this kind of place, you know, in this state, and this is what so-and-so president did when he walked here, and this is the place that Ulysses Grant peed in because he had to, he was drinking too much. To me, what it showed is, okay, so there's a lot more that was wrong in terms of how we responded. It doesn't, from my viewpoint, take away from the underlying just how ridiculous and awful this was and how it was an insurrection.
Insurrection. You know what insurrections look like? They shoot people. They, you know, they don't get,
you know, had they killed. Had the chance, they would have.
Well, they did. They did shoot Ashley Babbitt.
Taking sticks
and throwing chairs through windows. Screaming that you want to hang somebody. That's not an insurrection.
Well, but those were FBI agents, though.
How many FBI agents do you think were there? How many FBI agents and informants and all the other alphabet
Antifa agitators?
Yeah. And Ray Epps. He supported you, didn't he? You like Ray Epps. You think he's a patriot, right?
We'll move on from there because I wanted it because we only got a couple of minutes. We got Mark coming up. One of the things, going kind of back to the Dave Williams, it's got to be frustrating, not for you.
We're talking about the mayor's race, too, at some point.
Jump into that. Denver mayor's race. What's going to – my prediction is going to be like Lisa Calderon or Leslie Herod. I mean, what do you think?
Oh my God! If it's Lisa Calderon, I'll move to Aurora. Leslie was like the, you know, the named buzz favorite in terms of, you know, getting into the runoff. I'm not sure that's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, we now have what 18 because Kwame dropped out. I know a lot of people from across the country are watching this. They're like, why the hell are they talking about Denver? But you know, I think that it could end up being a Mike Johnston, Kelly Bruff runoff.
That's what I've heard from a lot of people. I don't think.
And I have to say, I am a huge Kelly Bruff fan.
Yeah, I like Kelly.
Somebody who's worked in the city, like literally worked in the city, was chief of staff of the city for a mayor, you know, ran a business organization, is a true, from my perspective, the type of progressive on a certain number of issues that I would want her to be, but also hard nosed. It's like, you know, there are consequences for decisions that you make. And so for those decisions that you make, then you need to suffer those consequences. It's not our duty that when you decide to do certain things that are bad for yourself, that all of a sudden we have to pay for it.
I agree with you. I like Kelly Bruff too, but do you really think, I mean, you're talking about two fairly wealthy white people. Do you think that in Denver, I don't know. I mean.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's, you know, with that many people running, 20% of the vote, you could get into the runoff.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, Debbie's campaign is Ortega, she's a Latina, has been lackluster. I mean, she really hasn't raised that much money, she was in office when I started at Brownstein. And I started at Brownstein when there were 53 lawyers at Brownstein.
Yeah.
And they're now in like 10 cities and 600 lawyers. So. Yeah.
But please, it's Latinx. She's not a Latina.
I don't like that. According to Pew, the percentage of Hispanics, Latins, whatever the appropriate PC term is now, that actually use the term Latinx, 3%.
Oh, yeah. And they only use it to complain about it. They aren't actually.
It's like the other term they use now. I don't know if we talked about this. It's BIPOC, Black Indigenous People of Color. I was on this phone call with some donors. And somebody used the term, And I'm like, excuse me, sorry for being ignorant, but what exactly does BIPOC mean? And they said Black, Indigenous, people of color. And before I could catch myself, this is how I get in trouble. I said, oh, there they go. Shit on the Asians again.
That would have gotten you in trouble.
Well, and that's somewhat redundant.
Well, let me say something about Kelly Brown, because I've known her, you know, since she was Ed's babysitter. I knew her when she was chief of staff for Hickenlooper. And I worked really well with Michael Bennett when he was the chief of staff for Hickenlooper, who I just love. I mean, politically, I hate him, but as a person, I really like him.
Yeah.
Kelly Brough's, for me, when I'd walk in, so here comes trouble, which is probably true. But she spent, this city has become a dump, and she helped make it a dump.
Somebody who has
caused the city to be as awful as it is.
So you're going to look at me with a straight face and say it should be Mike Johnston.
That's hard to say with a straight face, but Mike Johnston sold himself out.
Tom Strickland without a mustache with boots, and he's kind of likable.
Yeah, there you go. But it's those two. The headline for editorial is "Pick Your Poison." Pick your poison.
Well, what other, any two, it would be "Pick Your Poison," right? I mean, who else would you?
I don't know. Roger.
I'll tell you one last Kelly Brough story. You have to know this. So when Kelly Brough was chief of staff and came time to do collective bargaining, you know, the police, firefighters, a whole bunch of folks, she walked into a conference room. She brought in a bottle of Vaseline. She put it in the center of the table and she looked at him. She said, okay, folks, we can do this the easy way or we can do this the hard way.
And I'm sure she did it the hard way.
Well, that's a pretty good story. She can't really say that anymore, but hey, listen, Ted, we got to let you go. Thank you so much.
Great to see you. Love talking with you.
Right. Great to you too. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Say hey to Arash.
Will do.
All right. Bye, everybody. Well, that's a good. Yeah, we'll have to see. I mean, that'd be interesting to see what happens with the Denver mayor's race. And we'll be talking about that too.
I have to say, I just love talking to Ted.
I know. Right. I was going to tell him to listen.
He's funny. He's all those great things.
He is. And guys, we've got a great song coming up that the number one Apple iTunes download. We're gonna send it to Ted for St. Patrick's Day. Let's go ahead and bring up Mark Poff now. Mark Poff, former law sheriff's investigator in El Paso County. You guys all know Mark. He's been on plenty of times before. And I want to let you know, he's going to be filling in for us. We're heading to Phoenix for some golfing. And so Mark's going to fill in Monday and Wednesday. So thank you for that, Mark. And
it's always tough coming after Ted, Mark. So you're going to have to have your A game.
Well, I can tell you probably more people were killed by abortions on January 6th. in Washington, D.C., but that's all right.
Good start.
I mean, one of the things, I had a bunch of stuff to talk to you about. And one of the things, I mean, you had mentioned to me, hey, you saw today that they, now that we know the Hunter Biden laptop story is true, Hunter Biden, right. And I don't think this is a good idea, is going on the offense and he's trying to sue the guy whose shop he left it at. After he signed a contract saying, if I don't pick it up in this time, you can have it kind of thing. Right. I mean, this is, I just think Hunter Biden trying to distract and also I think trying to threaten other people from trying to bring up information about him. What do you make of it?
Right. Well, that's exactly right. And the reason I was kind of interested in it, I don't know if I told you that way back when I was actually contacted by someone I can't say, mm-hmm. who asked me if I would like to have a copy of the Hunter Biden laptop.
What? And you didn't say
to do forensic. This was when it first came out.
You never told us that.
So they basically asked me, they said, Mark, they want to know if you'd be interested in doing the forensics. And of course it took me like all of 5 minutes to say, yeah, I'd love to do the forensics on that. And then they came back to me later on and said, well, you weren't picked. So and I was like, probably a good thing now, because they probably would have ruined me. I probably wouldn't be doing any business in the state of Colorado.
Yeah.
But the thing that's interesting is years ago when I actually worked for the sheriff's office, I had a pawn shop that called the sheriff's office and said, look, we'd like for you to look at this laptop. And I'm like, why do I care about a laptop at a pawn shop? They said, well, the person who sold it to us or checked it in or whatever, it's pawned it, didn't come back in time. And so we gave it to our IT guy for him to clean so we could resell it.
Right.
Okay. Again, why do you want me to look at this laptop? well, we think we found a whole bunch of child pornography on it.
Ah, mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, you know what? Let me come over and pick up that laptop.
Right.
So they gave me the laptop. I took it back to the office. As it turns out, there was boatloads of pornography, but there was no child pornography. So I took it back over to the pawn shop and I gave it back to him and said, look, you know, it's okay. You can wipe it clean and do whatever you want with it. So here's kind of the key. When he handed me this laptop and said, look, there's child pornography. We think there's child pornography on there. I didn't go and get a search warrant.
Uh-huh.
There was no reason for me to get a search warrant because in the state of Colorado, it's called abandoned property. Now, I don't know the laws of Delaware or wherever this laptop was dumped off at, but in Colorado, if it's abandoned property, so if you throw it on the side of the road and probably the document that this company, you know, this IT guy at this store had him sign probably said that if you don't come back within 60 days, you forfeit the property. So when the 60 days is up, you know, he no longer owns that laptop. The owner of the company, that Mac store or whatever, he owned that laptop per an agreement that Hunter Biden signed. And I'm sure he doesn't want to talk about that because I'm sure this guy can present Hunter Biden's signature.
Right.
So what Hunter's trying to argue is that, wait a minute, okay, maybe I did forfeit the laptop, which he doesn't want to admit, which has to be the first thing is, you know, how did he get this stuff?
Right.
And it's like, well, I don't want to talk about that. I just want to talk about the fact that he got it and he distributed it. Well, you know, there is so much pornography, if you want to call it that, or sex tapes of famous people out on the internet. Well, how does it get out on the internet? And how come they're not suing all these different websites or whatever? Some have tried.
Right.
You know, and the question is, how did you get the sex tape? Well, when he actually handed it to this guy, I mean, you got to think to yourself, how stupid.
Well, yeah.
To hand somebody a laptop with all your sex tapes on it. But I'll be interested to see how this plays out. For one thing, he's assuming that this guy leaked it. Maybe it was the FBI.
Yeah.
The FBI had it, right? He gave it to the FBI.
Oh, that's true. Maybe, yeah.
How can you prove that the FBI didn't leak it?
You can because the FBI is in the tank for the Biden administration. And they wouldn't
do it. And here's another kind of example. I don't know if it's clear cut. You know, when you go get these, you store at rental places and you lapse on that, what do? They cut them. Your lock on your storage unit. They open it up. I've actually gone to these before because there used to be that show Storage Wars. And I thought that was kind of interesting. So I actually went one time and you get to look at the front and you bid on it and everything's yours other than weapons and cars, I think, are the only two things. So it's the same thing here. Everything that's inside that laptop is part of that laptop and you're forfeiting everything on that laptop to him after 60 days. And there's no expectation of privacy, you know, because it's forfeited property or abandoned property. So I'd be real interested to see how this plays out. I think it's just an intimidation against this guy to try to get even.
Right. Well, here's my thought,
doesn't have any money. So you're going to be suing somebody who's virtually judgment proof. Well, you're not.
Right.
Correct.
Well, here's the question I have, though. Could it be a fruit of the poisonous tree kind of thing? That, in other words, all of this stuff that's coming about the Biden, Hunter Biden finances, the Biden family stuff, a lot of that all stems from emails found on Hunter Biden's laptop. So if they can somehow have a court ruling that says that this guy shouldn't have distributed that information, could that maybe, I mean, Chuck, you're the investigator, you're the lawyer.
It'd be impossible unless you knew, no, it is not going to work.
Okay.
And it's really a bad idea. I mean, it's, if he'd done it before, you know, he gave it to the FBI and before it had gone out, you know, maybe it's, but what, after the cat is out of the bag and distributed all over the country, good luck, Hunter.
Okay. I mean,
good luck.
This IT person is not a what's the term they always say, an agent of law enforcement. So let's say before the 60 days was up, just assuming it's 60 days.
Right.
Before it's up, let's say that this Mac owner, the IT guy, realizes that I have Hunter Biden's laptop. So he goes to the cops and he says, you know, hey, I got Hunter Biden's laptop. And then the cops turn around and say, you know what? We'd have to write a warrant. But if you happen to look through there and saw something interesting, that would be a problem. And that would be okay. Kind of the fruit of the poisonous tree, because you're asking him to act as an agent for law enforcement.
But yeah, that didn't
once
happen.
The 60 days is up and it's abandoned property, he can do whatever he wants with that laptop.
Okay. Well, in fact, I think he tried to give it to the FBI and they said we were busy. So
No, they took it in.
Oh, okay.
And then held on to it.
Years later, and did we get Hunter Biden's laptop?
Yeah. Right. Let me ask you another one. And this is a little bit maybe more civil, but I see the NBC is breathlessly saying we're going to have another insurrection and everybody better be aware because they're going to indict Trump next week, right? For apparently on the whole Stormy Daniels thing, right? Now I know the DAs in New York or the prosecutors in New York keep trying to go after Trump. But do you see anything? I mean, this sounds complicated. I guess they're accusing him of, I mean, the fact that she was lying and making this up, she was extorting him, basically. You would think that would be a problem. But then Michael Cohen paid her and Trump paid her back. I mean, I'm not sure what the crime exactly would
be. Campaign contribution.
Oh, campaign contribution. Okay, what do you make? I mean, you guys have some experience with completely corrupt and crooked prosecutors filing baseless cases. Well, it's not like it couldn't happen.
Well, anything can happen, and we definitely know that you can indict whoever you want out of a grand jury. You don't allow any of the defense in there at all. So you have a prosecutor, and if they are a highly motivated with an agenda, they can indict anybody they want. Obviously, we've seen it here in Colorado with my buddy who was indicted for kidnapping someone he never met. And if you can do that, you can do about whatever you want. Here's the bottom line. They are going to indict Trump.
Yes.
Because I think what they're really trying to do, and this is just my opinion, and I could easily be wrong, I think they're trying to use Trump, and they keep talking about Trump. It's like, dude, you know, once you get a divorce, I don't keep talking about my ex-wife, you know, but they just want to keep talking about Trump. I think they're trying to use him as a wedge in the Republican Party to keep trying to bring up Trump and then indict him and just do all this stuff because they want to keep talking about Trump, you know, and not move on. Maybe there's other people we'd like to talk about.
Right.
But they're going to indict him. There's no doubt in my mind they're going to indict him. And they're going to try to cause, you know, just like some people think that January 6th was incited, entrapment, whatever you want to call it. I think they believe the more that they can leverage Trump, the more they can divide the Republican Party.
Well, and then I think we'll see a bunch of those FBI khaki guys come out in the vans that they use, you know, where they jump out of the U-Hauls or something, and then a bunch of Antifa people. You're right. Well, and speaking of that, why don't you want to talk about what you're going to be, because we were talking about this, and I thought this is really, and I don't want you to do your whole show, but you're going to talk about. Yeah.
Well, no, one last thing is, if they indict Trump, and they pull like this game that they've done in the past where they show up with their SWAT team to take out Trump.
Oh, yeah.
Are the Secret Service obligated to shoot it out with the FBI to protect Trump?
To defend Trump.
So could we to see who's, you know, Secret Service versus FBI? I mean, that could just be crazy. But yeah, talking about on Monday, and I'm kind of, I'm a little fearful about what I'm going to talk about first on Monday because, you know, my buddy, John St. Augustine, who's really an expert when it comes to police procedures and crime scene investigations and all the stuff that he's worked on, he's forgotten more than I'll ever know. At first, I want to talk about January 6th, which is really a tricky subject. I would tell you that I am somewhat unique, that I'm not on either corner. Now, I'm definitely a conservative Republican, but you have some Republicans that are talking about January 6th was an insurrection. I mean, you have some Republicans saying this, and then you have some Republicans saying, well, it was nothing more than a trespass or whatever. I'm somewhere in the middle. But what I would like to do on Monday is, you know, the Tucker Carlson videos did show, like you said, and I agree with you completely, it shows the other side of the story. So we've been only exposed to the videos that Nancy Pelosi wanted us to see for 2 years now. And now that the Republicans took over the House, McCarthy has released these videos, you know, like 40,000 hours of videos.
Yeah.
And I definitely believe that Tucker Carlson is cherry picking videos. There's no, I mean,
Yeah.
That's kind of how it works. If you
right,
want to
prove yes. Yes.
You don't show everything. You show this supports what I believe. And so I'm cool with that. I think, you know, and I love what he's showing. And I've been watching the show to see this. But I want to, without using politics or non-political, as a retired detective, I'd like to talk about January 6th just based on the facts of what actually happened. And it is about the judicial system when it comes to this.
Okay.
Because I have definitely seen that the state of Colorado can definitely intimidate people into taking plea deals.
Oh. Now, yes.
If that's true, how is the federal government on intimidating individuals on taking deals that they probably shouldn't?
Right.
And then try to get this. I mean, to me, just as one example that's just wrong about January 6th is you got to admit that some of the people that walked into the Capitol did not have a flipping clue.
Right.
They basically thought, like your earlier guest, they were joking about that the Capitol Police was doing tour guide stuff.
Right.
And so,
right.
I mean, you walk in and you're not one of the first people. Maybe you didn't see the doors get busted down. You walk in and you walk around the Capitol and you leave and you're called an insurrectionist. I can't even believe I got that right. And you're like, dude, all I did was walk around the Capitol building.
No one told me I couldn't be here. Yeah.
I never threatened anybody. I didn't ask where Vice President Pence was. I just walked around. And then when I heard somebody, one of the Capitol Police say, hey, you're not supposed to be in here, I left.
Right.
And so I'm very concerned that the issue to me is about bail and about no bail.
Oh, yeah.
So you've got a whole bunch of Americans that for whatever reason, and every person's different, they were put in jail, a federal jail, and not offered bail, which is one of your constitutional rights as an American, held in jail for months, if not years, until you took a plea bargain so you could just get the hell out of jail.
Right.
That is extortion. And that's not how the American system is supposed to work. And you know, if one person did bust a door down, if one person grabbed a cop or hit a cop, then you know what? Prosecute them. But if you have somebody else who just happened to be stupid and walked around the Capitol building, really didn't understand the ramifications, okay, charge them with trespass or whatever. But don't hold them in jail until they take a deal that's just ridiculous, that's not appropriate. And I've always had an issue with what they call racking and stacking charges.
Right.
So you overcharge so much to the point where he's like, look, I'm looking at like 50 years here.
I got a plea
and they're
bargain.
Offering me 6 months if I plead guilty.
Right.
I better just, you know. So it's that overwhelming. And again, to me, that's almost extortion. But I want to handle it just, I'm going to take about 20, 25 minutes. And just talk about January 6th. I found a lot of interesting facts on the internet. Hopefully, I think they're fairly, you know how that is.
Made by Fauci.
Exactly. And then John's going to come in the second half of the hour, and we're going to talk about the Murdaugh trial.
Oh,
that's great.
Because we talked about that, I think, back before a lot of this happened. And I think, hopefully, I made the statement. I should go back and watch the podcast. I think I made the statement that digital evidence would probably solve this, which I think very much.
Yes.
I can't remember if it was Snapchat or an Instagram video that kind of put the nail in the coffin.
Right.
But the one thing I got to say about Murdaugh is I wouldn't get anywhere near that guy because it appears whoever gets close to him dies.
Yeah,
he does seem like a dangerous kind of guy.
for whatever reason. And then on Wednesday, we're really going to try to talk about something that could get me in trouble, but that's okay. We want to answer the question.
As long as it didn't get us in trouble.
We're going to try to answer the question because John and I both were in law enforcement for about 17 years. John took more of the supervisorial track, if you want to call it that. He became the commander of investigations. So he oversaw every homicide investigation where I was just a detective because that's all I really wanted to do. I was having so much fun as a detective. And I worked on over 80 homicides. And now for the last 8 years, John and I predominantly have worked for the defense.
Uh-huh.
So we've seen, you know, kind of like how the sausage is made on both sides, so to speak.
Right, right.
So we want to answer the question, definitely in the state of Colorado, is our justice system fair? And I just some of the things that we've seen, and I would tell you from my standpoint, discovery violations are number one on my list. Having, you know, typically working for defense teams now,
right.
I found so many times where it's like, hey, we don't have the cell phone records. Or another trick that I just love what they do is they'll actually they'll print out all the cell phone records. They get them in a digital format.
Uh-huh.
They'll print them out on a printer and then rescan them in and put them in a PDF so I can't do anything with them. And they say, nope, I provided you
I gave
records.
It to you. Yeah, yeah.
I gave it to you, but not in the original form that we got it. So we have to go to the judge and say, look, we want the original digital evidence that they received from the vendor.
And Chuck, that's something you've talked about a lot, Chuck. Just yes. I want to go back to one thing
that Mark said about you should have a right to bail, about the people who maybe broke a window, and they should also be entitled to bail, and they're not a flight risk and everything else. And right. as one person said, I forget which reporter, said the real evil people are the judges. The judges are the ones
that's Molly Hemingway
have
and Julie
violated Kelly. All these people's rights. You expect it from the police. You expect it from the prosecutor. You hope that judges are not just so politicized that they have no sense of fairness. And it's clear in the D.C. Circuit,
yeah.
They have no sense of fairness. They have violated and destroyed a lot of people's trust in the judicial system. And I don't trust the system. Answer your question, is it fair? For most people, it is not. And the prosecutors have worked on this system for so long and corrupted it so badly, as Mark St. Augustine, not Mark, but John St. Augustine can say, he got to see it, what first the justice hand. System is
yeah.
today. And it's a sad remnant of what we once had.
And my view is you got to keep it fair. They always say right. justice is blind. Like they always show the statute.
It
is not
but
blind.
But they do have to
and
keep
the thing
it
is,
fair.
You have people that destroyed billions of dollars worth of stuff during all these riots leading up
right.
long before January 6th. And they got out on $0 bonds.
Not
or
only that, we're paying them. We're paying them. Yeah. Taxpayer yeah. dollars are going to them.
And Kamala Harris was a part of a group getting them out on bail. But then yep. you have somebody who walked through the Capitol, never damaged anything, never hurt anybody, and they're being hung up in jail until they take deals.
Right. Yep.
That's not how the system's supposed to work.
No. Well, Mark, it sounds like it's going to be a great show. We are running out of time. This
we'll
is, yeah.
We'll watch.
Yeah,
from,
as always.
You'll be playing golf. You'll be hitting the links. That's what I would rather be doing.
Hey, listen, thank you, sir, for your time. I want to thank Ted Trimpa. Thank everybody on Zoom.
BBS people, and thanks for all the folks who were able to take your comments.
Well, and here I'm gonna end though talking about we should briefly mention what a great wife I am. So from here,
okay.
Chuck is at the office. He's gonna go from the office to the Glendale Ballet for St. Patrick's.
World famous and now even more world famous.
World famous
of Glendale. Because the New York Post and everywhere else. I'll wear my bulletproof vest.
Yeah, that's right. Ooh, the Glendale Ballet. And then he's going to go to his men's club thing for more St. Patrick's Day festivities. Well, I pick up Brett from school and we'll go to McDonald's. But
there you go.
That's what
tell
a good
about
way.
Last night. Tell him about last night where nice Chuck came and
that's right. And I was
drinking,
and Chuck is an excellent husband too. So, all right. Hey, everybody else, have a happy party Friday. We'll see you all later on, Mark, on Monday. Everybody have a great weekend.
Bye-bye, everybody.